This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm with a bunch of really cool guys who've just participated in an exercise down in Mississippi, and I'll let them give you the details. But first, I want to let them introduce themselves. Earl, tell us your name and what your title is. And
yes, my name is Earl Schubel once again. I'm the associate director for the Verizon Frontline Crisis Response Team, managing 12 states in the South.
All right. And Marcos?
Hey, good afternoon, morning, all that good stuff to everyone out there. This is Lieutenant Colonel Marcos Rogers. I'm currently the G6 for 66th Troop Command for the Mississippi Army National Guard. For the Patriot exercise, I was the J6 working for the Air Force Command staff at the higher level. Thank you.
All right. And Mark?
Hi, Mark Path. I'm Senior Director for Verizon's Business Continuity and Event Management Organization.
All right. Well, cool. Well, I've been looking forward to talking to you guys. Mark, can you give us an overall view of what you guys did down in Mississippi and why it's significant?
Absolutely. Thanks, Donnie. We had several teams from Verizon that all exist within what we call the Verizon Response Team. These are specialty organizations that are designed to run to a crisis with particular skill sets that allow them to assess and restore communications quickly, safely, and as quickly as possible. One of the teams that we had there is called our MERIT team. That's our Major Emergency Response Incident Team. These are a bunch of engineers and technicians whose day job is to repair, maintain, and grow Verizon's network. But they're also trained as hazmat specialists. They have the same certification that a hazmat fire department would team and can actually go into very dangerous situations to assess a situation that may be affecting or is affecting communication services and can actually affect repairs, whether it's on fiber optic cables, our cell sites, or our power plant that provides power to our locations. So again, a very specialized organization of about 40 engineers and technicians that are geographically dispersed around the nation and get deployed to any situation in the continental U.S. within 12 hours. Another team that we had there is our DERT team. This is our dedicated impact response team. This is a group of technicians and engineers that are trained and specialized on wireless communications. So they're able to go into the wireless component of our network and quickly do repairs, assess damages, and if a cell tower is damaged, they can actually bring in a mobile cell site, whether it is a cell site on wheels or we actually have flying cell sites, drones that are outfitted with a cell site capability to propagate RF signals. So they're specially trained with skills that allow them to restore quickly and safely our wireless communication services. Another team that we had there is our emergency response team. These are a group of engineers and technicians that are focused on the wireline component of our networks. So all of our cell sites are connected back into our network through fiber optic cables. When they get damaged by storms or anything, they can quickly come in and effect repairs on those fiber optic cables, run temporary routes if they need to, and that's what their area specialty is. And of course, you've had the frontline organization, and I won't steal Earl's thunder, but you know they're a specialized organization that exists within the Verizon Response Team umbrella that also runs to a crisis like we all do, specializing in emergency first responders. I also just mentioned we had some other teams involved there that were there for more support roles that are critical to Verizon's overall crisis response. One of them was what we call our Global Event Management Center. And this is a group of people under me that monitor globally any situation 24/7 that could potentially impact Verizon services to our customers, to communities and first responders. They were in an observing role, and they're also the ones that activate our crisis management teams that bring all of the resources of Verizon to bear to respond to any particular crisis that includes activating our Verizon response team. So they were there in attendance as well, more observing some of the situations that were going on during the events last week.
Okay. So, Lieutenant Colonel, what does this mean? What do these kind of exercises mean for you guys on an operational basis?
Great. On an operational basis, backing up a little bit, I was down in Katrina in 2005. It was a very intimate time of my life when we're trying to sift through not only the rescue side of it, but the recovery piece of it. And what we found was everyone was coming to the fight. And we loved it. Thank you. Thank you for coming to the fight and bringing these things and these capabilities. To watch it grow over the last 19 years has been extraordinary with where we've come as an industry and where we've come as a military operation. So now fast forward to the Patriot exercise, right? Domestic operations for the National Guard is one of our key missions. We protect the state, and that's hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, rioting, anything that could degrade the state, right? That's where we play a role. So having Patriot is a chance for us as a Mississippi military entity, along with our stateside entities, to flex. Flex our muscles, flex our mindset, flex our capabilities, not only things, but how we're planning things, how we're responding to things. So this was a very important exercise for what could come down the road as another Katrina-type hurricane. Now that's the overview. I can go in more on Patriot if you'd like me to.
Yes, please. Tell us what you all did there.
Great. So Patriot specifically, I got asked to be the J6. What that means is I was a joint communications officer answering to an Air Force command, right? I'm an Army soldier. I had four lines of effort that I cared about as a communications officer. It was situation, geospatial positioning, so read that as blue dots on a map. I wanted full motion video, either real time or near real time. I wanted interoperability from an integration standpoint on a situational awareness application. I also wanted segregation of that data. What that means is I wanted to see what I wanted to see, and I didn't want to see what I didn't want to see on purpose. And then the last line of effort was black and green radio interoperation. I wanted UHF, VHF, P25, hey, you, it's me, green or black box on the table. Now, those four lines of effort were met by a variety of terms, one of which is the vendor we're talking about now. Real quick on that asterisk caveat, being vendor agnostic is important. So what that means is if you're a vendor coming to the fight, be agnostic, be interoperable, right? Be able to integrate. And that's what we were able to witness. Why was that important specifically for this particular conversation is the majority of what our bosses want to see at the command level, read that as blue dots on a map and satellite imagery and all of those things that are moving, you need a network to do that. I can't make that successful without a robust network to be able to manage those things on a battlefield, manage the communications, whether it's data communications, read that as email or PDF or whatever, chatter, or even visual communications, right? Seeing things move from a video aspect. And because criticality comes down to time. If I can't reduce the margin of time from incident to response, then I'm losing the fight. If I can't tell the difference between an emergent and an urgent response, right? Read that as someone needs to be rescued or someone's about to die. Those are two different, you know, response methods and how I prioritize my efforts. So for my commander to be able to make those decisions, he or she needs to be able to have a robust network. So that's why Patriot was so extremely important. That's why having these capabilities on the field to be able to exercise were critical to what we're trying to do. And if that network goes down, what do we do then? And I don't just mean goes down for us as responders, but goes down for people. If they don't have the ability to dial 911, if they don't have the ability to call out and say, hey, something's going on, I need your help, that puts us all in a bind. So more specifically, the safety of my people, but then the safety of the public. So that right there, like that's what we brought to bear. That's what Patriot was, a culminating exercise. In my opinion, the main effort, the decisive operation, was the sixth portion of it, the hey, it's me, video, voice, and data capability. So having this vendor on the ground, being able to flex the art of the possible with things like Teams Awareness Kit, right? That means Teams Awareness Kit. That's a situational awareness application. Things like live streaming video from drones or near real-time video from drones. Blue Force tracking, whether that's, you know, vendors like GoTenna or vendors like Persistent Systems, mobile ad hoc networking, it doesn't matter. Bring it into a backbone, bring it into a network, and integrate it. So that's what we did.
Very cool. You mentioned green box and black box. For those who may not be familiar with those terms, can you clarify what that means?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. So the military, you know, I'm a former knuckle dragger. I was infantry for a little bit before I became a communications officer. So I try to dumb things down. For me, a green box, what I call a green box, is any military issued radio. That could be any variety of nomenclature. I won't bore you with those details. I tend to geek out on it. And then the black box side of it is the civilian issued radio, or even civilian wants radio. What does that mean? Like ham radio operators, right? That's a black box. That's a black way to communicate. VHF, UHF radio. So that's county sheriff's office. That's city police departments, right? P25 is a higher level black box radio capability. That's like highway patrol, right? That's like your emergency medical agencies at a federal level. That's what I mean by green and black box. I needed the integration. I need to pick this thing up and say, hey, you, it's me. And I needed to come out on a variety of other radios.
It's the key of interoperability. Very true. So Earl, tell us, what were some of the things you saw in this exercise? And what were some of the innovations that you all were able to learn what functionality they have, and maybe even some things that may need to be improved in the future?
Yeah, I love the passion that Lieutenant Colonel brings up about no comms, no battle, right? That's sort of, in essence, what we try to live our motto by as the Verizon Crisis Response Team when we move downrange. In this scenario, a hurricane on land and folding in on a blue sky day-like event, folding in layers of complexities, like having radiological sources that we maybe have to detect using what, like Mark discussed, using specialized teams to find that and use, in essence, some new technologies to help sniff out those type of conditions. So having the entire, like Mark Pat said, breadth of Verizon's response on scene allow the Verizon Frontline Crisis Response Team that not only integrate, I think you'll admit Trent Griggs, our Crisis Response Manager, did an outstanding job of integrating not only with the communications teams, but also giving us the information for success downrange. So his first really mission was to not only integrate, but also to supply platforms. Now, it may be as simple as a device where they, as Lieutenant Colonel said, could put ATAC on uniforms, if you will. So now we can show through the Verizon network dots on a map using that ATAC platform, if you will. And then that transcends into what sensors, what platforms can we additionally use downrange through our innovation program where we can bring back data where maybe soft tissue can't go. So we have something called the robotic dog, RED, we affectionately call it, our robotic emergency dog, excuse me. And we were able to work with Seaburn, in essence, and attach sensors on that dog and simulate, if you will, sending that dog downrange where it too can look for radiological or, in essence, sniffing the air for bad particles, if you will, and bring that information back to a JOC, back to in essence, Lieutenant Curl's purview, so they can make, in essence, data decisions, right? Data-driven decisions. And last but not least, literally, we freshly out of the box, we were able to get airborne with some of our new Skydio X10 drones. That's a unique and literally a new device to the Verizon Frontline Crisis Response Team, and where not only is it giving us data like FLIR data, where we can detect changes in temperature to look for missing people. When we ran a canine extra mission, in essence, the canines were racing against humans to find who can find the cadaver first. We supplied that organization with very, very a key training experience that they'll take back and utilize and learn and get better. Double down to circling back to Lieutenant Colonel once again, being able to stream some of the live data at a timely manner when possibly a flight was coming in, so the JOC can have a different perspective of what's occurring, not only from the dots on the map perspective from TAC, but also from an airborne perspective. Having that capability of streaming that data back over a Verizon network was absolutely a key to our success in learning what our capabilities are. At the end of the day, for the Verizon Frontline Crisis Response Team, we don't want to show up day plus one to an event like a hurricane and our customers not knowing what our capabilities are. So this entire event allowed us to exercise and showcase Everything works great in the trade room floor, right? We've all been there. Everything looks great. This allows us to test our metal out in the field and, in essence, put it under duress and make sure it works and it's operational for when the real thing happens.
That's what matters most. Absolutely, Earl. Mark, I want to come back to you real quick on something you mentioned. You mentioned a drone that provides LTE coverage, and I just wanted to clarify, is that at this moment, are we still depending on tethered drones with the constant power, or have you all solved battery life in drones and can stay up forever?
It's a work in progress. So yes, we have the tethered drones, and we actually had some great training opportunities and saw just an amazing display of some of the tethered drones that we were testing out with some of our mobile satellite apps, like our Colts and whatnot, our cell phone light trucks. We are looking and are running exercises with external partners to look towards basically a flying plane or a flying drone or a fixed-wing aircraft that we can affix like an E-node B to propagate the cell signal with, as well as having a satellite dish on it to receive the backhaul. So those are the next iterations of technology that we're looking at to further basically the tools in our tool belt that we have for a crisis response. So that is something that we are actively working on.
Okay, very cool. And Lieutenant Colonel, your final question. You mentioned that you were deployed at Katrina, and I just wanted you to, if you can, give us an idea of what it was like then and what you're seeing today in terms of the visibility, the capabilities you have, and frankly, the visibility. One of the things I heard anecdotally from Katrina was you had all these people show up and nobody knew what anybody else could do. And you had people, frankly, pitching in, doing what they could. But, you know, I heard there were doctors giving out water when they, instead of being able to do medical stuff. And you had other people being mismatched with, you know, not being able to utilize their skills fully. And I was just kind of wondering, have we come a long way since then?
Wow. I know that question is probably longer than a couple of minutes, but overview, right? Quick overview, yes. I love the heart that people had to be able to come in a response, right? That's the bottom line. The fact that people had the humility to be able to do something outside of their skill set just to be able to help is fantastic. So just to acknowledge that, right, is important. Now, moving from that, have we moved and come forward? I'm going to say yes. Asterisk, and it depends, right? Because of the major muscle movements that occur within emergency management agencies. You have your state emergency management agency, you have your county emergency management agency, and then you have the military that supports those entities, right? The federal emergency management agency is there holistically, right? They'll dole out that help, that monetary help to be able to make us do, help us do what we need to from, you know, fuel, gas for fuel, things of that nature, right? How are we getting, you know, stuff and things out there? Yes, it's gotten better. And I believe that why I say yes to that is because not only has the technology advanced, whether it's a mobile emergency operations center, for instance, right, they can roll on site. And because there are people like me, and to be honest with you, smarter than I am, out there who know how to better leverage these capabilities, they can check in, if you will, say, hey, this is what I have. These are the capabilities. Where do you need me to plug in? And then I can go create those segmented microcosms, right? Like this county is hit hardest. And because this county is hit hardest, I need to put some more resources there, whether that's to create a long-term evolution, right, an LTE backhaul, or even if we need satellite communications, right, SATCOM, in that area to have a backhaul until we can get LTE. But yes, that's a lot of words to say, man, wow at the advancement, wow at the things out there that are capable, wow at how simple and easy a lot of these things are to deploy. Right? Because you're going to have search and rescue entities, you're going to have infantry persons, you're going to have engineer persons, you're going to have non-technical people that are going to have to put their hands on these things and deploy forward, right? That's what I'm an enabler. I gotta help support a network, but I'm not the one who's going to be trudging through doors and hallways. Other people are. So how do I make sure they get the comms they need, and how do I make sure it's as simple as possible?
Very true. Great point, Marcos, as always. Well, Marcos, Mark, and Earl, thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with us. And please keep in touch and let us know what comes next.